Hey, 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 it's your girl, Danny Ray, and welcome to my podcast, Real Talk with Danny Ray. So glad that you're here. So glad that you're tuned in. Make sure you share this with a family member or a friend. Follow me on Instagram at Real Talk with Danny Ray, or if you have any topic suggestions or comments, send an email to realtalkwithdannyray@gmail.com. Well, family, I'm excited about today because I started something brand new. Today is Real Talk Wednesdays, so you gotta make sure that you tune in every single Wednesday at 7 p.m. because you never know who's gonna pop up. But let me just tell you about my first official guest. She is an author, she is a mentor, and an inspirational speaker. And she's gonna share her journey with us today. So just sit back, relax, make sure you got your popcorn, make sure you got your glass of wine. Tune in to the conversation between me, Danny Ray, and my special guest, Miss Connie B. Hey, Danny Ray family. So glad you guys are here. I'm excited, as I said, about my special guest, my sister, Miss Connie B. How are you? Ooh, round of applause goes around.
I am doing just fine, just fine, just fine. And yourself, Miss Danny Ray?
I'm doing wonderful now that I have you as my first official guest for Real Talk Wednesdays.
Thank you.
So what's going down today? Let me just remind people of who you are. Inspirational speaker, mentor, and you are an author as well. So little birdie is flying around saying that there's a book coming. Am I right?
Yeah, the little birdie told off on me. Yes, there is a book coming.
Okay.
End of summer.
Okay.
And the name of the book is called Married to End Fidelity. And that's E-N-D, Fidelity.
End Fidelity. E-N-D. Okay. I can't wait till that book comes out. Okay. I can't wait for that one. Y'all, we waiting for that one, okay? So we need you to hurry up and get this one printed so we can read this book. Well, see, it's perfect because what we're talking about today is being single, being married. Now, I did a podcast where someone interviewed me, and they asked me some questions about my journey as currently being married, but also what was life like for me being single. But your story is a little different from mine.
Yes.
Okay. So, you were married at one point, and now you are divorced, single. So, I just kind of wanted to just kind of ask a couple questions just to kind of see, you know, again, what your journey was like. So, what was marriage like for you?
Okay, so marriage for me, nobody, in all truth, nobody is prepared. There's no way you could read books, you could light candles, you could meditate. Nobody is ready for marriage. There is no book out there that can teach you how to be a wife, how to be a husband. My journey in the beginning of being married was perfect, because I've always had this idea of being married, being in love, and catering to my husband.
Okay.
I never had an issue with catering. It's something that is just naturally in me, but it's even more greater when you are in love with that person. So the beginning of marriage was, I was head over heels. I mean, everything was about catering to my husband, catering, you know, making sure family is taken care of, making sure home is taken care of. Even though I worked at 8 to 5, I still made sure that those grounds were covered.
Right.
It wasn't, well, that was the beginning part of marriage. So, it started to shift. Well, okay. Let me not get ahead of myself.
Okay.
Let me not get ahead of you. Mm-hmm. But the beginning part of marriage was excellent. You could not mm-hmm. tell me anything. Let me tell you, you couldn't tell me anything. Mm-hmm. You would have thought, I mean, like, you would have thought I just got 100% ownership of Tiffany.
Right.
You know, and right. ladies know how we, you know, Tiffany, right. you can't right. get no daintier than that.
Right.
That, at least to me, that's how I felt. Like,
right.
Tiffany just gave me her business. Mm-hmm. It can't get any better than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's how it was, the beginning of marriage. You couldn't tell me anything. I thought, mm-hmm. at least I thought,
right.
it was good.
Right. Mm. So you just mentioned that there was a shift. So tell me, how did that shift happen? What happened in that process?
Well, the shift happened when I started to see certain things happen that was unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, like, okay, say for, okay, good example, woman's intuition.
Right.
I ignored her many a times.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to shift, let's see, it started to shift within the fourth year.
Okay.
Of marriage. Yes, it was the fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started to see behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
I started to see certain things that was just unusual. It was the red flags.
Gotcha.
The same red flags that I saw in the beginning when we were dating.
Mm.
And I okay. just thought maybe I'm just being too... I thought I was looking for something. You're looking for something. That's not what it is. You know how us
right.
women, we downplay it. We try to, mm-hmm. we put the Band-Aid over it. Mm-hmm. And
we try
bam.
To cover it and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Keep it moving. But 4 years later, the same thing started to happen that I saw in the beginning of it. So mm-hmm. I started to see, I have to stay later after work, or I have to, I have to go here. I have to do that. Mm. And because I was so excited about being married, you
right.
know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this man loved me. He wouldn't lie to me. He
right.
knows how much. He knows there is, mm-hmm. you know, just, I'm a ride or die type of chick, you
right.
know?
Right.
Do your thing. I'm mm-hmm. not going to stop you from doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's when the shift started to, it started to change there. It started to, I noticed like, what I was mentioning, he had to stay later at work, you know, the distance. And so instantly I started to feel it was me.
Mm-hmm.
What am I doing wrong?
Right.
Cause he can't do wrong. Cause
right.
he loved me.
Right.
So what am I doing wrong? Cause he wouldn't
right.
do this, you
right.
know, red flag. No, he wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. No, mm-hmm. he wouldn't do that. So all the arrows, I turned the arrows away from him and I made it forcefully. And no matter how bad it hurt for me to turn those arrows towards me,
mm-hmm.
I made it turn it facing me.
Right.
And I automatically just assumed, Connie, there's something that you are not doing.
Right.
And it, once those arrows started to point towards me,
mm-hmm.
I believe that's when I started to lose myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. You said that you pointed the arrows towards yourself. What did you really think that you weren't doing? What did you feel like you weren't doing enough of?
Making sure his needs was met.
Mm-hmm.
Catering to him.
Mm-hmm.
Giving him the attention that he needed. Making sure that, you know, anything that I could possibly find, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it wasn't too much to find.
Right.
Remember, this mm-hmm. is the beginning of marriage. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking care of home, family.
So you all in.
I'm all.
100%.
Let me tell you, I'm so in to the point where I have lifted the own foundation. I did the whole foundation with my hands. That's how in I was with it.
Mm-hmm.
So to turn those arrows towards me and say, there's something that you are not doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I started, and this is the best way I could put, this is the best way I could describe it.
Mm-hmm.
When I realized it was nothing else that I could possibly do to try to correct the situation with him being the way that he was,
mm-hmm.
I started to slowly pull out of myself.
Mm.
I started to slowly, well, maybe if I just fall back, maybe if I just shut up, or mm-hmm. maybe if I just stay out of his way, or maybe mm-hmm. if I just, so I started to pull natural characteristics of myself
mm-hmm.
that was just natural, that was just me, out of me to mm-hmm. please him. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the decrease of me started to happen.
So you really stepped out of yourself, who you really are, to still, should I say, cater to him, make sure his needs were met, do whatever you had to do, no matter what.
No matter what.
Regardless of what he was doing.
Regardless of what he was doing, but keep in mind, it was a slow process.
Mm, okay.
It was a slow process of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more I started to see the change, mm-hmm. the more I kept pulling away from myself.
Mm.
And then when you pull away from yourself,
mm-hmm.
like, you need your heart to live, you
right.
know? You
right.
need your feet to walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need your eyes to see. You need your ears to hear.
Mm-hmm.
There were certain things I started to become comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And I convinced myself to be okay with when I wasn't okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was content because as long as I could see him happy and smile, mm-hmm. I was okay when I really wasn't.
Right.
But because I was so blinded to taking care of my family, mm-hmm. making sure my man is taken care of, making sure mm-hmm. his needs are met, family, home is taken care of,
mm-hmm.
that was so important to me. That was like mm-hmm. my own Bible. You
right.
know, that was my Bible. You mm-hmm. know, home, family come first.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that to heart. You know, I have always taken family to heart.
Right.
So it's to have my own family was just even better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when I turned the arrows and I started to pull myself away and I handed it to him.
Mm.
That's the thing.
Right.
It was years later when I realized that. I didn't mm-hmm. know it then, but mm-hmm. sitting here and in my healing moment, I could mm-hmm. see that now.
Right.
But when I gave it over, he took it.
Mm.
Willingly. He took it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with that comes control.
Right.
Soft control.
Mm.
And it's a reason why I say soft control.
Okay.
Because I won't say that. I know for a fact that when I did it out of pureness. I did it out of love.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when I just freely gave it over,
mm-hmm.
I think that was and it was just taken from me. He just took it from me.
Mm-hmm.
I think to me, let me just be honest. I think that was a part of the game. I think that was just the whole setup in the beginning, so that
mm-hmm.
if I could take this from her and she handed it to me,
mm-hmm.
then I could keep doing my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I could keep doing my stuff because no matter mm-hmm. what goes on in this house, when we get on the outside, she's gonna dress it up. She's gonna make sure I'm mm-hmm. taken care of. She's not going to embarrass me. She's not mm-hmm. because I have this part of her. She gave this part of her to me.
Right.
So now I'm dangling it like a Muppet.
Mm-hmm.
So I got this, you know, the cocky and the arrogance comes in, you know,
right.
but you don't see
right.
that.
Right.
Cause we're still in the beginning of marriage. I don't mm-hmm. see, I'm blinded to this, you know,
right.
He's happy. That's if he's happy, I'm
mm-hmm.
happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we were.
So you mentioned red flags and there's a lot of red flags.
Ooh.
So I would say a lot of women don't recognize those red flags. What red flags did you recognize in him?
Let me say this. That is a whole lie. I'm sorry. That is a whole lie. That's called denial.
Right.
Women always recognize
right.
the red
flags. Well, this I agree, but I have actually heard in previous conversations before that they don't see them.
That's a lie.
Right. I agree.
That's a lie.
I agree.
Because if you just take a moment and let everything be peaceful and quiet around
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
and close your eyes and just kind of revisit that beginning process of the dating,
mm-hmm.
It could be so simple to him dropping a pencil on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Red flags. One thing about red flags, that's why it's red. Because it's mm-hmm. like waving his hand like, hello, I'm yeah. right here.
I want to get your attention.
I want to be seen.
Yes.
You know, that's why
right.
it's red.
Right.
It's red flag, right. you
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. I really don't care who disagrees with me. Mm-hmm. Women always recognize red flags.
Mm-hmm.
We choose to dress it up. Because mm-hmm. the moment we see it, oh, no, that's wrong. I'm not seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Or they'll say, oh, you know, like you said, oh, he wouldn't do that to me.
He wouldn't do that to me. He would never do that to me.
I trust him. I love mm-hmm. him. I'm still going to do whatever it is I need to do for him.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just there's no way possible that he would ever do that to
me. One
right.
thing my pastor said to me, well, he didn't say it to me. One day he was delivering a message and he said something so profound. He said, women are moved by what they hear.
This is
men
true.
Are moved by what they see.
This is true.
So as long as the man can keep feeding us mm-hmm. what we want to hear,
mm-hmm.
even when the red flags is so obvious,
right.
we going off of what we are hearing.
Right. Because and we don't care about anything
else. We don't care about anything else because we're communicators.
That's right.
And we are natural nurturers.
Mm-hmm. All day long.
So, no. The red flags are there,
mm-hmm.
but you're so moved
mm-hmm.
by because if it makes you go 1%, that was a red flag.
Right.
But instantly, he knows what he's doing
mm-hmm.
because he's feeding you what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So you push that red flag to the back
mm-hmm.
and say, "Oh, that was so cute." No, that's not cute, but
no,
that was a red
no.
flag.
Right. Right. Exactly.
That was a red flag. Oh, look at him. He's telling me no. That's so cute.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Pay attention to that.
Listen to the tone.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what you see, because it's going
to
keep.
Yeah, because you got to listen to the tone. You also have to listen to how they say it, because it can easily be dressed up in a way to where the woman hears it and she's like,
yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's, oh.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
what, oh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's cute,
mm-hmm.
you know? Oh,
mm-hmm.
that's so cute. Okay, let's see how long it's going to be cute.
Right.
Let's see, because that monster is going to grow. I promise you it is. Let's see how cute it's going to be.
Right.
5 years later.
Right.
And I'm a witness to it. Because guess
right.
what? It was cute to me.
Right.
And now that I'm like, dang, it took me this long to realize
mm-hmm.
he was telling me who he was in the beginning.
Yeah.
Before we even said I do.
From day one.
Oh my God. I can't. I don't want to go into detail because mm-hmm. I don't want to give away too much in the book. But
mm-hmm.
It grows. It magnifies, and then that red flag turns green in
mm-hmm.
our eyesight.
Mm-hmm.
It's still red, but in our
right.
eyesight,
it's green.
It's
You're
green.
Right. You're right.
It goes from stop
because
to
always,
go.
We just see him, what he's doing, or what he's doing
Everything
for us,
is
how
green.
He makes us feel,
mm-hmm.
all of that.
We are color blinded to red. We don't see.
Mm-hmm.
We see every other color but red.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
later on down the line, that red flag goes to green,
mm-hmm.
and it just keep going
mm-hmm.
and it keep growing. It'll grow, 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 and then it gets smart.
Mm.
But that's later on down the line.
Right, right. So what were the red flags that you saw?
Okay. Y'all remember back in the day, what was this? The phones back in the day before, the phones that the doctors carried a lot. Phones, the what you call it? Oh my God, the phone is the you could do your emails and stuff off of it. Was back in the day, but anyway, I had this one particular phone. What okay, good example. I did something to my cell phone, stupid. But anyway, I had flew into town. I think at the time we were, because we were still living in different states. I had flew into town for his birthday. Came with gifts and everything. Mm-hmm. And somehow or another, I think I damaged my phone. But anyway, he had to go to work. So he was like, okay, you go ahead and keep my phone because I'm at work. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to use it. I'm like, okay, cool, you know?
Right.
So I'm not a snooper. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything maliciously to try to, you know, I'm just not. But you know, God is so good because even with us being blinded, God says, okay, I know she's blind right now, but I'm still gonna just lay something in her lap.
That is who God is.
You don't even have to find it, Connie.
That's right.
I'm just gonna lay it in your lap.
It's and gonna drop right there.
He dropped it right in my lap, and I saw a text message. Mm-hmm. Blackberry. Is it Blackberry?
The Blackberry.
The Blackberry phone. Yes. Right. Yes. I was like, it's gonna come to me. Yes, it was the Blackberry phone. But I think it was a text message that he had sent out to more than one person. Mm-hmm. Well, people. And it was an image of his. Yeah. So.
Wait. Hold on. An image of, wait, first you said more than one person. Mm-hmm. And the image, was the image sent to more than one person? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's keep going.
Mind you, now we're dating. We're not married. We're dating. Dude. Mm-hmm. So I see this and, you know, BlackBerry phones, they always, you know, did the timestamp. Just, you know, the mm-hmm. Apple phones. But
yeah,
they did the time. So it's very accurate. You can't mm-hmm. add, you can't change it. It's going to stamp that time and date. But I didn't know anything about BlackBerry phones. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a Motorola girl. That's when you had the flip phones. You know,
right.
you was balling if you had a flip phone. Or the
what was it? The Motorola Razr.
The Sidekick.
And the Sidekick.
And the Sidekick.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Right.
So
that's
right. I was a Sidekick girl. So I see this and I'm looking at the date of it. I'm like, I'm like, dang, I can't get my phone to see. I'm like, when did we decide mm-hmm. we're gonna start dating this and this? So I said, wait a minute. I'm like, okay, no. I know I'm not tripping. I'm like, wait, mm-hmm. this was sent out while we're dating. Well, pushing the story forward, he came home and I asked him about it. Now, mind you again, women are removed by what we hear.
Right.
Came in with a clean answer. Convinced me. Oh, no. What happened was that he said, I did send it, but that was way before. So what happened was I did something to my phone where it threw the date and something off where I couldn't update it. And so it changed the image. He said, but yeah, I did send. He didn't deny sending them. Mm-hmm. He denied when they were actually sent. So he tried to convince me that was sent before mm-hmm. him and I mm-hmm. started dating or talking or just even reconnected.
Mm-hmm. So here's my question. Were you convinced though?
Yes. Listen. Yes.
So he convinced you.
Cause guess what I said? Oh, okay. You know, and then I topped it with a cherry. I said, I wasn't around, so you don't even have to say anything else about it. Because
so
I was moved by
what he said. And so you just
swept and it was it so clean.
Under the rug. Mm-hmm. Didn't deny it at all. Mm-mm. But he figured out a way to convince you that it was something totally different from what your mind was already thinking. So you said that was while you were dating. But what about the red flags in the marriage? Because we already talked about that there was a shift.
Okay, so the same picture. Now, I told y'all that the red flags grow, right? Mm-hmm. I told y'all that. Mm-hmm. And they try to become smart. Mm-hmm. And the red flag turned green. Well, we I'm not gonna mention any states, but we had traveled to this particular state. And everybody that knows me knows that I'm just a chill girl. I'm happy. I'm a homebody. So traveling out, you know, I'm not a crowd person.
Right.
So if he told me, you don't even have to come, you could just stay here, I might bet, you know.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm a homebody.
We're going,
you know,
about your way.
So he has become adapted to what makes me happy and use that for his benefit. Well, this particular state we went to, him and I have the same friends.
Okay.
And I want to say maybe into the second day we were there, he left his phone in the bathroom. I was taking a shower and the phone went off. And just so happened the phone went off right there when I was about to brush my teeth. As soon as I leaned over the sink, the phone went off and the image popped up on the screen. You see how God just lays stuff on your lap? You ain't got to go search it.
I told y'all, it's full transparency, real conversations with real people. I said, it's Real Talk Wednesday, so we getting down and dirty in this conversation.
I'm really trying not to be dirty, but I'm really trying to, because, you know, I don't want to.
I know you're trying,
you know,
to keep it clean.
Just, I'm trying to keep it clean. So the image popped up on the phone. And he sent himself again. And then the comment came behind that. So I saw I saw minimal conversation, but it was enough for me to know what was going on and what was said.
Okay.
So I said, wait a minute. Oh my God. What is going on? What's going on? And so I confronted him again. This time it was different. He says, I was wrong. Yeah, I did that. Because you really can't lie about that. You know, it's a conversation. You can't lie.
Yeah, it's there.
It's there. And I read enough to know that you did intentionally send this to this person.
Right.
You know, based on the previous conversations that I saw before the image was sent. The image was sent. Mm-hmm. Then the reply came back from the other person. This is somebody that I thought was my dog. That I thought was my girl.
Wait. Wait a minute. Okay. You did say same crew of friends. So somebody that was in that crew of friends felt comfortable enough to start something.
This wasn't start. This had been started.
Oh, it had been started.
That was why. That is, I'm thinking we going to this particular state for one thing. We was coming to this state for another thing. Another thing. Yes.
So basically, you guys moved closer, but it was for his benefit to the other person.
No, we went to go visit.
Oh, we went to visit.
We went to go visit this state.
Just want to make it clear.
No, we went to go visit.
Oh, you went to visit the state. So that's the reason why he wanted to visit,
and that's why it was okay to say, "Oh, you don't have to go. It's okay." Yeah, and I don't hold nothing over anybody's head.
Right.
I just want to forgive, you know, push on. Let's get past this, you know.
Right, exactly.
Even though it hurt me to the core. You know, I'm like, okay, it's not worth. He apologized. He admitted to what he did. He didn't lie to me. And that was the thing we try to pull the okay. Oh, it is the okay out of the hurt. So the okay was, well, at least he didn't lie to me.
Yeah.
That was the okay. So I felt better. Because I had to find something to move the pain away.
Yeah.
So I found it.
Yeah, because you just didn't want to really
deal with what the real
issue was.
So, well, at least he didn't lie. He could have lied, but he didn't. You know, we start talking to ourselves. We try to make it bigger than what is not. So in my head, it went from
well, he could have lied to me. Wow, he really do respect me.
Mm-hmm.
So he, at least he did respect me, because, you know,
mm-hmm.
he could have said anything else. Wow, he really do love you. So now it's growing.
Right.
It's growing.
And it's festering.
So, yeah. You mm-hmm. know, it's mm-hmm. everything started to feed off of itself, and it became big. And then all of a sudden, okay, we got over it.
So we good.
We good.
We can,
you know,
we can move on.
We can move on.
Life is back to normal. Yeah. Getting mm-hmm. up every day, yeah. cooking breakfast,
yeah.
getting ready for work, yeah. make sure lunch is ready.
Tapping the tree for maple syrup.
Yeah.
You did it all. That's a good one. Tapping the tree for maple syrup. That better be in the book. Because that's a good
you
one.
You know, it was all white doves, you know, white picket fence after that. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay, yeah. So moving forward, and you know, you and I have had plenty of conversations, and at one point in this process, things kind of got real hectic for you, and I just kind of want you to explain, because I know that there's a lot of women that are out here listening. There's a lot of women that actually are currently going through what mm-hmm. you're going through, and they may not understand how to get out of it. There may be some women that are still stuck. So they're trying to figure things out. So I just kind of want you, and you don't even have to go into huge detail,
mm-hmm.
but just kind of explain, like, how that process was for you transitioning out of what you went through to where you are right now. Because, you know, we've known each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've kind of, you know, seen a part of you that a lot of people have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that to God be the glory of where you are.
Yeah.
I can definitely say that. So, but yeah, just kind of tap into that a little bit.
Okay, so transitioning, going from... That's just, you know what? You had a show called Married versus Single.
Yeah, I do. So, just to backtrack, I was actually a guest on the show with a friend of mine who also has a podcast. We talked about being married versus single. So, he asked me a lot of questions, being that I was married.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to him, you know, what my life was like before getting married and what my life is like now being married. But it was more so as far as, you know, do you have issues with communication, like finances, like, you know, it was almost like giving people advice or giving my I won't necessarily say expertise, but sharing my experience
mm-hmm.
of marriage and what it is. Because I basically said too, as you said, marriage is not perfect.
No,
and
sorry.
It is not a white picket fence.
Mm-mm.
And he kind of laughed when I said that, but I was being really serious, because if you think about it, that's what you see in the movies.
Yeah.
They always portray the perfect marriage. And so in a lot of people's minds, that's the way that marriage is supposed to be.
Well, marriage is not a lifetime movie, but it is a lifetime movie.
It is.
In the process, to sum up, in the process of being married for 12 years, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the process from transitioning from marriage to single wasn't hard. The mm-hmm. reason why I say that
mm-hmm.
is because even though I was married, I was still single. I was still single. So it wasn't nothing for me to transition. The difference in it. This mm-hmm. is the difference in it. So mm-hmm. the process of it transitioning, going into my... Now, when you say single, we're talking about you're no longer with this person. You mm-hmm. guys are... separated, you guys are divorced, you guys mm-hmm. are coming out of a relationship, mm-hmm. you guys are living at different addresses.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. The financial status change, because mm-hmm. now it's not one, it's individual.
Right.
that's where it hit me at. It hit me in the finance part because I have my mom and dad. Let me tell you something. My mom was super awesome. Mm-hmm. Super awesome. And I learned a lot from her. And when I got married, I allowed him to take control of the finances and do this and do that. So, 'cause that's just how much I trusted him. You know, we never had a light bill cut off. We never had no repos. We never had no foreclosures. Everything was taken care of. He was an excellent provider. You know,
but you know, that's pretty old school anyway. Like
that's old school back in the day.
That's how it was back in the day. That's how my parents were.
And that's okay. That's okay. But when you are doing it intentionally to benefit yourself, that's the difference. That's the difference. And the money part, you know, even though we it took both incomes, you know, to support, you know, our lifestyle, I trusted him. So I never really, I just, you know, our checks was going into the same account, you know, and bills was paid. Bam. You know?
So you were straight.
I was straight. But I, when I got to myself and I realized this is the this is my reality where we're no longer together. Wow. You are solely responsible for yourself now, you know? So, and then on top of that, you're dealing with, you know, just not the financial aspect. You're dealing with the emotional aspect. You're dealing with the broken trust. You're dealing with the broken marriage vow. You're dealing with, it's so much that falls into that basket at one time. To process something like that could be very overwhelming because you're still hurt. You're still going through your emotions. You're still transitioning into singlehood. You know, the single transition is the ingredients that comes with it. And one of the things that I had to learn to process was that it was okay to cry. It was okay to feel like you failed at something. It was okay. Because see, those are the aspects of getting over that hump. You can't ignore it. You can't, you really have to be in your real truth. You really have to be in your true moment. This is how I feel. This is my real moment.
You
this
were
is
being
my
very
reality.
Honest with yourself.
Being very honest, you know? And then you, yes, everything come out. You know, I don't care what the situation went on in the marriage. When somebody divorced, sometimes that's like failure. You know, failure kicks in. You know, what went wrong? Where did we go wrong? Where did I go wrong?
Right.
So I'll never forget moving into my apartment and I'm sitting in my apartment just looking around and just all of a sudden became so overwhelmed. That's when depression had found me. Depression had truly found me, and it found me so hard to the point I didn't even recognize my own reflection. That's how hard it found me. And so I'm in my apartment and I'm just sitting on my couch. Nothing, it's just completely dark, completely quiet, and my mind goes back to those moments to where I was married and videos being sent to me, pictures being sent to me, you know, it was no denying, you know, all that came. And then how much of myself I gave into him, like, how can he do this to me? You know, I love, why would he do this to me? And then all of a sudden, you know, your self-esteem kicks in, you know, then all of a sudden it was like, you're not worthy. To be loved. You're ugly. This is, he needed you just to be his cover up, you know, to the public, or a cover up when you guys went to church events, or if he had to go sing or something. So, you know, all that filters in, all that kicks in, and then you get angry. And, you know, it's, I was on another show, and I was comparing, the aspects of just being single, coming out of marriage to somebody, it's so many levels of a you have to go through. Mm-hmm. It's just like sickness. It's just like death. Mm-hmm. You have to, people go through so, there's levels of death that people go into. You have to accept it. You know, it's right. levels to that. And it's the same thing for marriage. Mm-hmm. And so to make a long story short, it was one moment, and I say this because this is what I have been delivered from. Mm. And I tell this part of my story because you just never know who is listening.
Right.
You never know who is in this actual real moment, this mm-hmm. conversation that we are having, mm-hmm. that is in the process of making a decision. And you didn't even know this because I came to church. I was okay. Everybody mm-hmm. thought I was okay. Mm-hmm. It's called suffering in silence. I had adapted to it for 12 years of marriage, mm-hmm. suffering in silence, to where it was natural. It became, it attached itself to my character, my DNA. It was mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. But it was a real moment that I had. And, you know, we all had to deal with COVID. You know, COVID alone right. by itself, you know, when everything shut down, you know, you had no choice but to really have a true moment and deal, because there was nowhere to go. You had to be at home. I was working right. from home, everything. So right. I had a real moment. And I had actually tried to commit suicide. And it failed at its finest. I can't even really put into words that the how it failed. And it mm-hmm. is good, because that was when God, because that's when God stepped in. Because mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out where you are. God, where are you? You silent.
Right. Right.
You know, I need you right. right. Listen. Right. Right here, right now.
Right now.
Because look, you know, I ain't about to wait on you. You mm-hmm. know, I don't want, no. I ain't about to wait on you. You know what you put, and then I started to blame God. All of a sudden, you put me in this situation. You knew he was like this. Mm-hmm. You knew he was like that. So I had to find blame, and I blamed everything on God. You know mm-hmm. what, God, you just stay where you are. I'm going to stay where I'm at. I had to just, my mm-hmm. pastor called it a human moment. I had a human moment.
Right.
You, God, I'm good without you. You know what? I made mm-hmm. it this far. You've been silent anyway. You didn't let me know you was near me. I'm mm-hmm. calling for you. You being silent on me. But you know what? That's all right. That's good. Mm-hmm. You stay where you are, and mm-hmm. I'm going to stay where I'm at. That's the best relationship we can
so
have right now.
So you were done with God. Completely.
I was done with God. I was so angry with God. And so mm-hmm. the moment after I had that conversation, mm-hmm. I had took a bottle of Tylenol PM mm-hmm. with a bottle of wine, Pink Moscato, Gallo, the big bottle, not the small bottle, the big bottle. Mm-hmm. And I drank it like water, because, you know, you drink liquor fast or mm-hmm. wine, you know, you get that quick hit. So mm-hmm. I did that. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. So I just sat back in my moment, like, okay, all right.
Just you know, waiting for stuff to happen.
Just waiting for something to happen. Waiting for my moment to present itself, you know. I'm not even thinking about my daughter. I ain't even thinking about her. I'm just mad mm-hmm. because, you know, this, you know, I'm just done. I'm over it, you know. Oh, looking at the clock, 7 o'clock. Looking at the clock again, 8, 9. And I'm thinking to myself, now, I work in the medical field. I know when this is supposed to kick in.
Right.
No effect at all.
God said, I am here. He let you know at that point.
Let me tell you something. You are not supposed to be in no type of, when you do that, mm-hmm. you're not coherent to anything.
Right.
That's when I was at my most mm-hmm. coherent moment. God used the very thing that I was trying to do to hurt myself. Mm-hmm. He used that very same thing for my good. Mm. Because it was in that moment mm-hmm. when God said, I've been here. I've been here.
You just
what
didn't you, see
what
me.
You, what you thought you swallowed, I was taking it out of your mouth at the same time.
Mm. Oh, that's heavy.
And so, I can't. There are no words. I can't. There are no words. But that can even describe that moment. Mm-hmm. It was a true connection between God and I. that was our moment. Because remember, I told God, you stay where you are,
and I'll stay right here where I am. That's right.
But guess where God was the whole time?
He was right there with you
the whole time. And the reason why he was silent was because he was always having my back. Mm-hmm. Every stupid thing that I tried to do never worked. It never worked. But because we become so embogged into our own pain and we want to blame somebody, you know.
Right.
God is a God of choice. He gave us, I choose that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he put the highlights. I mean, he did the diamonds and everything and the arrows, red flag, red. I still did what I choose.
Mm-hmm.
I choose.
Yeah, you made the choice.
I made the choice. And so when I became to, when that whole process, when I came out of that and realized, Connie, what are you doing? Now, mind you, what I failed to tell you guys is this whole time I was going to church every Sunday, sitting on the front row, smiling, happy.
And people would never know.
People didn't even know. Let me tell you, like I said on the previous show, I became the master of selective hearing. I became I mastered that very well. Mastered that because I was comfortable. I loved that pain. I loved where I was sitting at the moment. But after I had the whole trying to commit suicide and trying to just take my life, God said, no, I'm giving you life. That's when everything starts to reverse itself. Then that's when I said, you know what, Connie, deal with it. Deal with what it is. Call that thing out and deal with it. Face that thing in the mirror. Because I didn't like who was staring back at me. I had to, I'm like, no. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. So I started to journal. I started to write stuff down. You know, the true moments where I was. And I started to listen to my pastor. My pastor said, there's a scripture for everything. No matter what you are going through, there is a scripture for
it. Yes, it is.
And when I tell you, he was absolutely right. Because every moment that I felt going through and dealing with and trying just the whole healing process, there was a scripture that accommodated my every moment in that step. And one thing that I found out of this whole process of going through the healing, and most women would not understand this, I came to the realization, I said, somewhere down the line, I put God last and made my husband first.
Now, hold on. That's a serious thing, because it's a lot of women that do that.
But don't.
To the point they will sacrifice everything, no matter what it is, for their husband.
And men.
Yeah, and men. That's right.
And men too.
You're right. Men, period.
Men and women.
Right.
You know, not just, and I'm just coming from the woman side, but you know, but men too have.
Absolutely.
The roles have, vice versa.
Right.
And, but just women, period. I know how some of us can be, because to acknowledge that and to say that out loud, you know, women, I'm independent. I'm this, I'm that, you know, I don't need a man to take care of me. This and this and that and that. Shut up. Just shut up.
Just stop saying all that. I don't care. At the end of the day, you can say how independent you are and you got this and you got that. But in the back of your mind, you want love from a man.
Because there's no... Let me tell you something. That's another sub. That's a whole nother... But let me tell you something. Lord, have mercy. Every woman wants to feel the love of a man.
Yes.
That's natural.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, that's what it is. And then vice versa, the man want to feel the love from the woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something about when you love somebody, but it's even awesome when somebody loves you back.
Loves you back.
And so I came to the realization that I put him first and made God. Matter of fact, God wasn't even last. God was nowhere to be found. He was nowhere to be found. He wasn't even on the board. So I can't even say he was last. He wasn't even on the board.
And you know, I can even hear the questions now. Like, how could you think that?
No, because some people's really gonna, when they listen to this or as they're listening, they're really gonna ask that question. Like, how would you think that? Why would you say that?
It's not the thing, but it's not even what I think, mm-hmm. because it's something. It was an action. It was mm-hmm. something that I did. Mm-hmm. Because when I put him, let me tell you how I know. Mm-hmm. And this is fact. Mm-hmm. This is Connie's fact. Mm-hmm. When I moved God off of the board mm-hmm. and made him first, mm-hmm. that's when I started to die. Mm. And then that's when I started to become his enabler. Mm. That's when I started to, when I became his enabler, mm-hmm. when I, the more that I died, the more I gave him life mm-hmm. to keep doing what he was doing towards me. So I pretty much told him it's okay.
Right.
Because, you know, we want to be the forgiven wife. We want to mm-hmm. be the forgiven person.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, we want to be the chance after chance after mm-hmm. chance after mm-hmm. chance. So when I came to the realization that, oh, so now that, so Connie, I was like, whoa, this was not all his fault. This was your fault too. Mm-hmm. Here come another. I'm waiting for some of the women to hit me with that.
Right out of my mouth because we just generally, we do not know how to take responsibility or hold ourselves accountable for anything. And I personally know what that feels like. You know, like I said, we've been rocking with each other for a very long time. And, you know, of course, with church, you know, the pastor that we have a pastor that covers us daily. And that's one of the things that he talks about mm-hmm. is accountability. Because first, God is holding him accountable for us. Mm-hmm. So he's got a heavy job. So I can hear people now. I can hear it. Like, I can mm-hmm. really hear. I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be comments coming in from just that in itself.
At this moment, though, I don't care because, see, mm-hmm. this was a true moment that mm-hmm. I experienced. And this was a one-on-one encounter with Connie. Mm-hmm. And I was so determined to get past. Let me tell you something. Pain would take you to places you ain't never been before. Mm-hmm. You're not even ready for it. Mm-hmm. That four-letter word, if you give into that, mm-hmm. it would take you to some places. Woof. Mm. And when I tell you, when you get to that dry, that it's not even dry, it's wet. Mm-hmm. It's wet, cold, clammy, and it's like a claustrophobic type of
scary
place. Mm-hmm. And it's not a good feeling. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not a good feeling.
It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable because you it's just so much that you can easily adapt to. And that's the thing. It's so easy to adapt to. It's so easy to adapt to that pain. It's so easy to adapt to where you, because depression has no respect to person. It don't, and it comes in so many forms and fashions to where if you're not careful, mm-hmm. if you are not careful, that thing could take you out. Mm-hmm. But I refused it. I said, no, I choose life. Mm-hmm. One important thing that I left out, when I did those pills and that the wine and everything, mm-hmm. if anybody know our pastor, tends to call us at the most opportune time.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. And he did call me. Mm-hmm. So, Connie, what are you doing? I'm like, what? So I'm mad because you interrupted my moment.
Right.
You know, all right. It's just, but again, you know, I told God, you know, you ain't nowhere, this, that, and that. But he was actually sending me help, not mm-hmm. realizing that I still to this day don't even know if he knew what I was doing. I don't know. I never clarified. I never asked him. Mm-hmm. Never did. Never asked him the question. But I mm-hmm. think he knew. Or he had I don't know. But he's a prophet. So he knew.
Yeah.
He knew.
He knew.
He
knew.
He's a prophet. So he knew.
Right.
But when I came to the conclusion that this was, Connie, you, this is your fault too. Mm-hmm. Because I enabled him to do what he did. I kept taking him back. I kept just okaying the moment. And I don't, it's so much deeper, mm-hmm. you guys out there listening to this. It's so much, I'm really holding out because I don't want to give too, it's just get the book. It's going to be out on, mm-hmm. just get the book. Mm-hmm. But I just want everybody, man and woman, men and women, mm-hmm. to know that we have a God that sits high and looks down low.
Yes, indeed.
And he is omnipresent. He's mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. He is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And when I came to the conclusion, when I started to heal and started to realize that, Connie, you're going to be fine. Connie, when I realized my words started to change, mm-hmm. I started to say, you know, oh, you're going to be bigger. You're going to be bigger than the situation. You're going to overcome the situation. I noticed that my words mm-hmm. started to change. And so because I always was looking for a scripture, I realized that my prayer life started to change in the process. I didn't even realize it. I didn't mm-hmm. realize it. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a praying person, but it was mm-hmm. praying. I was praying just enough.
Right.
I wasn't really doing what I supposed to. I was just praying just enough because I grew up in church, PK kid, you know.
Right.
It was
right.
just in you. So, you know, you just do, mm-hmm. you do the natural. But no, I realized that the more I healed from it, mm-hmm. the more I realized that my relationship with God started to change. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? And this is when I knew God had delivered me from that situation. Mm-hmm. I said, if it took that to get to the relationship that I am, where I am with God, I'll mm-hmm. do it all over again. Mm. I'll do it all over again. Mm-hmm. I will. I'll do it all over again. Mm-hmm. Because nothing at this moment could separate me. It cannot. I went through too much mm-hmm. to get to where I am today. And I secure it. I fight for that turf. Is mm-hmm. I don't let anybody come into that my environment, my space. I guard it with my heart. Mm-hmm. And so women, men, if you are in this situation, if you have been through this, or if you're experiencing it now, and you just, because one thing the devil likes to tell us is you're alone. No, you're mm-hmm. not. You're not alone in it.
Right.
You're not alone, because
right.
if you were alone in it, God has allowed you to stop just for a brief moment to listen to this podcast to let you know mm-hmm. I am life. I am God. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what I went to the cross for. You know, it was your face that I was looking at on, mm-hmm. on Calvary. It was your face that I was looking at when they mm-hmm. put the nails in my hands. Mm-hmm. It was your face that I was looking at when they pierced my side. You mm-hmm. know, it was your face. It was you. It was your name. You was already called into existence before your mom and dad even had you. So,
right.
No. God loves us. God, mm-hmm. oh my God. Mm-hmm. God displayed his love for me in a way that I can't even describe it. And mm-hmm. there is life. Don't hold what that one person did to you. Mm-hmm. Don't let that one person ruin your life by making you think that every man is that way, or mm-hmm. men, every woman is like that, you know, because mm-hmm. it's not. There is happiness. Mm-hmm. And I could honestly say, even after going through all of that, mm-hmm. I could still see myself remarrying and loving again. Mm. Okay. I am wide open to it.
Okay.
If you had asked me this question a year ago,
it would have been a totally different story.
Fight. I would have been like,
cut it off.
Cut it off. We about to fight.
That is true.
But yeah, it's you just have to stop the patterns. You know, you mm-hmm. always say, and women good for this, oh, I'm not doing this no more. I'm not doing that no more. I'm not doing mm-hmm. this. But you still peeking your head.
Right.
why are you peeking your head into that moment that God delivered you? Why you keep doing? Why are you doing that? Right. Why you keep? But no, you're supposed to. You put yourself on this path, on this place of, you know what? No, I got this. No, let me tell you something. Because the moment you peek your head into that one moment that God has snatched you out of mm-hmm. and delivered you from, you're gonna find yourself right back. If maybe mm-hmm. even worse. Mm-hmm. Because see, that's what the devil do.
Right.
That's what he wants you to peek back, because mm-hmm. he knows if she peek back, that's where I'm gonna get her at.
Yeah. And he's going to play on that.
Be very careful mm-hmm. on the turf that you walk on, that you play. You cannot play on the devil's turf and think that you got this.
Right.
Because he's going to always prey on your weakness. He preyed on my P-R-E-Y, mm-hmm. on my weakness. Mm-hmm. And that was, I wanted to be married. I wanted to have, I just wanted to love and, mm-hmm. and care. I got all that, but not knowing that it was going to be a price to pay. Mm. Because guess what? Mm-hmm. I did not ask God about my husband. I didn't ask him if this was my husband. I didn't. It took all of that, 12 years of what I went through, mm-hmm. to get to that moment of, you know what? Wow, I didn't. It's crazy because, see, in the beginning of the process, mm-hmm. I was so focused on the stuff that he did.
Right.
He did this to me. He did that. But mm-hmm. one thing about when you are broken, mm-hmm. baby, let me tell you something. If anybody tell me I'm broken, what do that look like to you? Because right. see, I've been there. I've been there.
Everybody
before.
Hasn't really been through that experience.
No, because they quick to say.
Very quick.
I was broken. I've been broken, or mm-hmm. I'm broken. Tell me what that was for you, or tell me where mm-hmm. you are with that right now. Because see, when you are broken, your eyesight changes.
Mm-hmm. Everything is different.
What you hear is mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. Because see, it no longer...
Woo. Family. As you can see, the conversation got so good between me and Miss Connie B, I had to cut it off. But you want to know why? Because we want you to come back for part two next Wednesday at 7 p.m., where we continue talking about the process. But before I go, just make sure that you download the Anchor app, search for my name, Real Talk with Danny Ray, and make my podcast one of your favorites. And when you do, send us a voice message. Let us know how you felt about that conversation. Comments. Anything you want to share. See you next week, fam. Real Talk Wednesdays, every Wednesday at 7 p.m.